Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 248-248. And my guest today, bringing a dream for us to explore and relate to her life, is Voti. And Voti is currently living in London. You'll find out more about her as we delve into her dream. I have just finished talking with Voti about a dream, and here I am putting the beginning of the show on. For those of you who haven't listened to The Dream Show before, just a little note. What you hear is me hearing the dream for the first time, because the way that we do this, we have people volunteer all over the world to come onto The Dream Show and we set everything up, but I ask to know absolutely nothing about the dream until we start recording, so that you get the experience of hearing the dream at exactly the same time as I do and the experience of exploring it with me. I've often wondered whether those of you who have listened to many episodes of The Dream Show, or those of you that have studied with me through the Dream Academy and learned the tools and techniques of interpreting and exploring dreams, that you might sometimes like to listen to the podcast until the guest has finished talking about the dream and then put it on pause and ask yourself, what did you get from the dream? What questions would you ask? What do you think the dream's about? Where would you begin to explore it? And then switch it back on again and join us for the rest of the journey. Just an interesting thing that you might want to try. So just before we go to Voti and her dream, a reminder of the websites. If you want to do a course, the courses are all online. You do them in your own time, at your own pace. There are recorded videos of me taking you through the various courses. There are charts to download, things to fill in, notes to download. And the courses begin with one course called How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step, and go all the way through to courses where you can learn to become a dream therapist. And the place to go for those courses is the Dream Academy, and the address for that is dream-academy-online.com. You can also go to my main website, janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, where you can listen to every single episode of The Dream Show that's ever been, although you can always listen to the most recent ones on all the usual podcast platforms, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, basically anywhere where you listen to your podcasts. At janeteresa.com, you can listen to all 248 and ongoing episodes. You can also read quite a few hundred blogs that I've written on dreams and dreaming. You can find out how to consult me privately if you'd like to talk with me one-on-one by phone or Zoom. All of that information at janeteresa.com, or find me on Instagram or Facebook. But right now, let's get on to Voti and her dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Voti.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Really well, thank you. And despite what sounds like a bit of an American accent, I know that you have just woken up very early morning in London.
That is correct, yes. So because of COVID and some of the necessity reasons, I'm working remotely in London right now.
So I had the impression in the UK that people were gradually beginning to get out and about again, that you felt that you were fully vaccinated as a nation and begin to sort of go back to normal. But that's not quite the case, is it?
I think it's just been so different all around. So we're all just trying to adjust, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I won't ask you too much because, of course, I prefer not to know a lot about you or anybody's dreamer's background. And I certainly, as usual, know nothing about the dream. I have no idea what you're going to bring to the show. So it's over to you now. What have you got for us?
So I had a very curious dream that involved family. I have an older sister and only one sister. And she and my mom and dad and I were in a shopping mall together. And we all started out together at first. This is our current age. And then suddenly we were separated and I was just with my sister. And in this huge mall area with many other randoms shopping, strangers, suddenly there was a loud alarm or horn that was sounded, and all of the attention was brought to the center of the food court area. And I think intuitively, my sister and I knew to kind of drop down and seek cover in some way.
Mm.
And in the middle of that food area, there was a man in a cape type outfit, and he kind of just had a very ominous vibe to him and commanded all of the attention. And he spoke very softly but very clearly, and you know, because it's a dream, I couldn't make out the words exactly, but mm-hmm. The feeling that I had was it was a declaration of some kind of war or chaos. And mm-hmm. you know, I look at my sister, we're completely silent because we felt it was a dangerous moment. But as we are crouching down together, we understood in a way, in a sisterly bond way, that we were very worried about our parents because we were separated from them. And we kind of understood that at that time, we would have to find them and take care of them, and make sure that they were safe, because there was this sort of danger in the air from the mood that had suddenly shifted.
Mm.
And I guess I chose this dream because as children, you know, we're used to thinking of our parents as the protector. So when I woke up from this, it was just I just felt very curious as to why, you know, at some levels, my subconscious went to my sister and I as the protector instead.
Yes, very interesting. Great question. Great observation. When you, just before you woke up, did you have any feeling that you would be able to find your parents, or did you feel that, you know, you may never be able to contact them again? What was the sort of feeling about your likelihood of finding them?
It's a little hazy, but I do believe that we did eventually meet up, but there was no conversation about, there's no mention of the danger that we felt they were in.
Mm. No conversation and no mention of the danger. Did you feel that they were oblivious to what had happened, or that?
Yeah, that's okay. The strange thing.
They were oblivious, so they were off in some section of the mall where they didn't hear the declaration. They didn't see or feel any of it. But you went to find them, and they were just normal when you met them up. And you and your sister were just silent about it. But why were you silent about it when you met up with them at the end?
We were in a different location, though. It wasn't the mall again. So maybe the shift of location has a role in that. But if you ask why, do you mean my view of it now?
No, in the dream.
Oh, I'm not quite sure. It just wasn't something that was addressed.
Mm. Not something addressed. Okay, so to begin with, even though you're dreaming about your sister and your mum and your dad, people very close to you, and it really, really feels like they are in your dream and it's about them, when we look at a dream, we really look at everyone and everything that appears in a dream as representing something about ourselves. So the dream is not actually about your mum and dad, not actually about your sister, but they are in the dream because of how you view them and what they represent as part of yourself. You know, we are all influenced, obviously, enormously by our parents as we're brought up, and we're influenced by our siblings as well. And so in many mm-hmm. ways, they represent parts of ourselves. So, you know, we'll be looking at that. But I love the fact that that's the key question that came out of this, was why has this protection role shifted around, which is a really interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that also really jumps out at me when you were sharing a dream there, was all the silence. You know, as you mm-hmm. said, at the end, although you met with your mum and dad, it wasn't addressed. Nobody talked about the fact that there had been this ominous vibe in the mall. It wasn't addressed, and you were silent. And there were quite a few instances in the dream where you were silent after. when you dropped down, you kept silent for obvious reasons. And then mm-hmm. after you made the declaration, you said you were silent because it was a dangerous moment. So there was a lot of silence and not addressing. You specifically said at the end there, we didn't really address the subject with your parents. So there was, on the one hand, there was all this silence and not addressing. And on the other hand, almost completely opposite, was this really loud alarm and horn and this declaration. You said it was a declaration of war and chaos. It wasn't just a quiet mention of it. It was like a really out there loud declaration. So we kind of got these two opposites going through the dream to start
yes.
with.
Yeah. Yes.
And one thing you can do, there are so many tools and techniques to approach a dream, but one of them is to actually look through a dream for opposites. And yours so glaringly presents these two sets of opposites. And sometimes...
That's so interesting.
Yeah. And when you can notice that two sets of opposites, it's often because it's bringing up an issue which you are... addressing or not addressing, where an issue which is coming up for you at the time of the dream. So by the time of the dream, we mean the day or two before the dream. And so, you know, it might be that there's this issue of, on the one hand, how silent do I keep? How much do I not address a certain issue? And on the complete opposite end of that spectrum, there's another part of me that really wants to declare this something out loud, to make a big alarm, to sound a horn about this. And where wow. do I, votees, stand on this line? Do I go to this end where it's silent and unaddressed, or do I go to this end and speak loudly, or halfway in between? So before we delve any further, it seems to me that the dream, this is what the dream is about. How are we going so
yes.
far?
I mean, that's very interesting, only because I did see my family recently after a long time being away just because of COVID. And I think that really resonates because obviously there was a lot of, you know, catching up to do, a lot of interactions that, you know, maybe have been paused for a while. So it does make sense that there were things maybe I perhaps wanted to scream out and voice out. But I think I also wanted to mention that in the time where my sister and I were silent and this announcement was going on, I think we both had a feeling that there was some kind of power within us, in kind of like a warrior type way, because there was an announcement of war. It was kind of understood that we were the warriors and that we were equipped for this battle, and that in a way that it was like our duty to fight for our parents on their behalf. So it's, you know, I come from a very I don't know about very, but it's, you know, Cambodian background is, I'm ethnically Cambodian. I think there's a lot of, you know, respect for your elders that's embedded into the culture. And just when your parents become more elderly, you do tend to take them into your home and continue to care for them in that way.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe that's too clear of an interpretation, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, that's really good. So that is like the logical interpretation, if we can go at that level, at the kind of top level or even the superficial level of the dream, is, as you say, mm-hmm. that sense of, yes, this could be about me and my relation to my parents, and I feel separated from them at the moment because I have seen them and I've now just come back from London, and, you know, I have this deep Cambodian heritage which says that I really should not be separated from them. I should be looking after them.
Yes.
I should be,
yes.
I and my sister should be the warriors and calls to arms in this dangerous
yes.
time. And all of that is true and all of that is going on. But interestingly, the way that dreams do operate and the way that our psyche operates is this reverberates at different levels within our being. So, you know, and then we also say, well, why did you have the dream at this particular time? When you think back to the dream, we're going to be looking at the day or two before. So although that may have been going on in your mind, my feeling, and we will explore it more deeply, is that there was also something else in your life that was going on, where part of you felt like, as you've elaborated there, part of you felt like you were being called to arms. You were a warrior being called to arms, called to declare something or state something, or called to really acknowledge. You know, you say it was like a mood, it was a war, a chaos, and a shift of mood and a vibe. And often we, particularly as women, and particularly from some cultures, tend to push down or repress any sense of bad mood or war or chaos, and say, no, we can cope with this. No, this is okay. We can deal with this. And and then in our dreams, we can come up with, no, there's a part of ourselves that really wants to stand up and declare, you know, I feel like there's a part of me that is at war. There's a part of me that's at chaos. There's a part of me that wants to shout out. I do have a mood. I have a bad vibe, maybe. I feel called to, maybe I should come out of my quiet corner and really just say that I do feel upset. I do feel chaotic. I do want to address this to some extent rather than to keep quiet about it. There can be an aspect of that of it as well.
Yes, interesting. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if we could just kind of just scream at the top of our lungs what's going on in our lives sometimes as a release? We're trying to remember. I think during that time it was that dream that I had was during the last new moon, I do, in a sense, you know, believe that our, you know, not only women's cycles, but just the collective cycles are kind of linked into kind of the moon cycles as well. But I don't think there was anything at the time that I was, you know, that I can pinpoint as a moment of anger that I wanted to release. But I do think generally, you know, my life on a personal level, just there's been a lot of change in my life just with COVID and other personal things. So there has been quite a bit of, you know, chaos in the sense that, you know, things happen in life that you can't plan for. So that may be part of it. And I think I'm coming through the tail end of the chaos. So there's a bit more clarity. But there's still some adjustments that need to be made and, you know, some more things to figure out that I'm navigating on my own, which in the past would have been, you know, me seeking out externally, whereas now I've learned, you know, just on a more spiritual sense to look more inwardly and try to find my path and resolutions that way.
Yeah, that's really interesting what you're saying there. So what you're also saying is that you are finding a way to parent yourself, to seek from within on a spiritual level rather than to go and, for example, go back and ask your parents for advice as you might have done as a child.
Yes, yes. Parents or society at large, in a sense, you know, or just certain individuals in my life. So, you know, that's an interesting point that you bring up, just because I think I have really kind of retreated and kind of looked within more. And like you said, parent myself, which is a strange thing to think about just because I am the youngest in my family. So it's and coming from an Asian house, you're never done with the advice from your parents. It's an interesting perspective.
Well, I came at it because of your dream, because in your dream there was that sense of I need to go and find and protect my parents. And so if you look at everyone in a dream as representing an aspect of yourself, then there's that sense of the inner parent, you know, your votee's inner mother and inner father, as if you need to go and find them and protect them because I need to parent myself in the situation in which I find myself at the time of the dream. I want to safeguard that aspect of myself because now that I am, even though I will forever have Asian parent advice,
I'm
grateful for. I also have this sense, as you've described there, that you want to draw on your own spiritual intuition. You used the word intuition early when you were talking about the dream too, and my own guidance, my own inner guidance, which is parenting, and I want to make that safe and protect that. So, you know, there may have been a situation around the time of the dream where you were feeling that you were losing touch with that, because in the dream it's like, no, there is chaos around and I'm being called to protect myself or protect my intuition or my insight or my inner parenting to some extent. I've got to go and make that safe because that is what's going to take me through.
Very interesting. I think when we tend to, just from my observation, because of COVID, we've all had a lot of alone time and kind of time to really just be in our own thoughts. So I think being around family again, you know, those who I've been closest to my whole life, you know, their energies are, there's a lot of very vibrant characters in my family. So I think, and I'm also, I think I'm very empathic. I can feel and really tune into others' energies and thoughts very easily. So it's always kind of a, I don't want to call it a struggle, but it's, I have to cleanse and detox a lot. As soon as I get to my limit, which is probably sooner than most, I need to, you know, do something, some kind of self-care to make sure that I'm back at my equilibrium. So I think being around others' energies at the time, especially family who are, you know, kind of in your face because they are your family. I think in that sense, maybe I was probably pushing back through my dream of, you know, like, hey, I got this, like, everything's, you know,
yes,
thank you for your advice, but I'm good. You know, I know myself best, and you know, things like that. So that's also a interesting point.
And I know myself best, and I need to protect my own inner parents because they are the ones that are going to take me through. So what you say makes sense of the fact that your dream was set in a shopping mall, you know, because you said apart from your sister and your mum and your dad and yourself, there were lots of random people. It was a crowded place. And so that's the kind of place that as an empath, and particularly as an intuitive empath, you will probably easily tire. Is that true?
Yes. Yes.
Because you're absorbing all those energies, and that then makes sense of the part of your dream where you described the chaos and war as a change of mood as well as a change of vibe. So, you know, we can walk into a big situation like that, and if you're very empathic, it can actually change your own mood. And as you say, you need to come out of that, you need to cleanse, you need to protect, you need to return to your sense of self. So there's a sense in the dream that not only did you need to go through those detoxing processes after spending the glorious time with your family in America.
But I hope they're not taking this the wrong way, but no.
They are, you're putting so much love and compassion into it that I'm sure they'd pick up that side of the message. But also when you return to London, you've not only got a lot of people as you are maybe beginning to come out of lockdown, and you know, in lockdown you've been protected against having to be with a lot of people and soak up their vibrations. There's been that, and also of course everything around that coming back into your different space and trying to find your place again. So you go.
Well, thank you for that. That's such an interesting perspective as well, but I wanted to maybe add a little bit more context too, and perhaps this is too much of the logical mind, but in the sense that my parents are Cambodian and they were survivors of the genocide, I just wonder if, you know, during that time, their basically childhoods were cut short because the war broke out when they were quite young. So I wonder if my sense of protection also comes from the fact that now I see them in a way as my children, and you know, just because they're emotionally in some ways they've you know, with post-traumatic stress, it's kind of kept them in childlike ways in some senses. So I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Yes, I think, you know, growing up, you would have been partially aware of the post-traumatic stress that they would have been suffering, but only as an adult, and as you say, as an adult that's now been following a deeper inquiry into your spiritual nature, and just getting older and wiser, and also living through a pandemic, is you're probably getting a much clearer view of what they have actually been through and what the damage has been done to them.
Yes.
And so there's part of you that is therefore able to look at them through different eyes, not as the eyes of a child, as you say, but as the eyes of quite a wise adult now, an adult who has been what's the word I'm looking for, advantaged in not having been through war, and advantaged in having been able to reach a stage of advanced wisdom and insight. Yes. And so on one level, yes, you're right, Voti, you know, you're looking at your parents with new eyes and wanting to protect them now that you know and really truly feel what they've been through. And at the same time, not to detract from that at all, the moment that we seem to, the moment that we can connect with something that's happening with other people, we then we have a similar resonance within ourselves. So that will then resonate within yourself as to where have I, Voti, not had post-traumatic stress, but where have I encountered war and chaos? One example is the pandemic. There may be others. How have I coped? How would I compare my coping mechanisms with my parents' generation's coping mechanisms? Where are they the same? Where are they different?
That's very helpful.
It brings up questions like that. Yes, which doesn't change your wonderful insights and compassion and empathy into what your parents have been through, but enlarges by saying, on a resonating level, where have I been through things that resonate with that, that I can draw on. You know, the fact that you're in a food mall. A food mall is a place where we would normally go to get food, perhaps. So it's a place where we're looking for nourishment. So the dream is about you're looking for nourishment. Even in the dream, you're looking for something, you know, to feed you. And of course, your parents would have been very malnourished, if at all, you know, during the war. But on a spiritual level as well, you know, an emotional level, a mental level, particularly with what they would have gone through as well. You know, there was low levels of nourishment there, and you're in this dream looking at your own levels of what has nourished you through the pandemic, through being separated from your family, through living in different countries, whatever it is. I don't know what's going on in your life. You know, there may be other aspects of your life, and you're looking here at how do I nourish myself? Where is there an ominous vibe? And I want to come back to that in a minute. And what do I do in the sense of an ominous vibe? And in your dream, the step one is you drop to your knees and you're silent.
Yes.
And yet, even though you drop to your knees and you're silent, there's a part of you that has a call for arms, that you feel like you're a warrior. Yeah. Now, your parents would have dropped to their knees because otherwise they would have died in the circumstances they were in during the war. You're in a different circumstance. You have a choice to stand up and have a call to arms about, you know, whatever that's about there. But it's interesting that the person that stood up was a guy wearing a kind of cape outfit.
Yes.
Give me a rough idea of what age he was.
He was roughly maybe 60s.
In his 60s.
And dark hair, kind of pulled back in a ponytail in some way. And I believe the cape was white. Satiny, silky, beautiful cape. But he felt pretty ice cold.
He was ice cold.
The vibe.
Yeah, his vibe was. Your parents would be in their 60s now?
Yes.
Yes. And any idea, did he have a specific kind of feeling for his culture or his nationality?
He was Caucasian, was not... I didn't have any sort of, I guess, bond to that.
Yes, yeah.
Felt total stranger. Maybe even not even from this planet.
Okay, so a little bit alien. Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting. When you have a character in your dream that's a little bit alien or not from this planet, it can have a number of meanings. We never take a dream dictionary approach, but you know we're looking beyond that. And so if we then come back to everyone in a dream and everything in a dream is an aspect of myself, then for someone who's not quite from this planet or seems a bit alien, can sometimes be a part of yourself that is alienated, a part of yourself that you have tried to push away and not really connect with, but are just beginning to notice. We often also say of ourselves from time to time, like, sorry, I wasn't quite on the planet there. I was off the planet a bit. so it can be that sense of disengagement or being elsewhere, being occupied elsewhere. But as you say, he was ice cold. He was ice cold, and yet he had something very definite to say. You weren't sure what it was, but it was a Can you expand on that, a declaration of war on chaos?
Yes. So it was muffled only because a lot of my dreams, you know, text messages and any kind of words are muffled. I can never make them out, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But he spoke with, you know, he just commanded the room as soon as the alarm went and everyone else kind of, you know, eyes shifted to him. He spoke in a soft way, and if I were to picture the words coming out of his mouth now, there was like a swirl about them. It just kind of, you know, came out of his mouth and kind of just evaporated, but into, it was like you could see the energies, and it kind of just took effect of everyone. And obviously, because my sister and I are crouching, we're trying to avoid those energies. But he didn't say much, and it was just like a short and quick announcement, but very scary.
Very scary. And when you felt the warrior energy in you, was it to oppose him or to find your parents and protect your parents? Or what did you feel the warrior energy was for?
I think the first instinctual energy was to find our parents and to make sure that they were okay. Mm. And in a sense, there was not so much a worry about that person per se, but I think it was because I, you know, intuitively felt that I could defeat whatever that was, that I would be okay.
Yes, yes, which is wonderful. So it's interesting that, as you say, when he stood up, he commanded the room. And when you were telling us the dream, you were talking about attention. I'm just finding it in the rough notes I was taking while you were speaking. Yeah, you said you were in the mall, there was a loud alarm, a horn, and then there was an attention. Someone was the center of attention. There was a center of attention, and that was him.
Yes.
So we've got center of attention and commanded the room. Something that really, you know, really caught your attention and commanded. Mm-hmm. So it may also be in the day or two leading up to the dream that something, even though you couldn't quite put your finger on it, something did come up that really commanded your attention and took your attention and gave you a bit of a fright. And the dream is really going through that and your responses to that. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's in the 60s, he's his 60s, even though he's Caucasian, may or may not draw back to the time of the war in Cambodia and Vietnam.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, it was also the 1960s and 70s, as well as your parents being the 60s. And of course, you know, the Caucasians were very definitely involved in that war as well.
Yes. Very true.
War and chaos. So yes. There's an aspect of that kind of sense of alarm and coming into your life there, an ominous vibe and having to deal with it. I love the idea of the white satiny cape. I mean, it's your dream. It's what it means to you. But to me, it brings up some kind of superhero of some kind.
Yes.
What does a white satiny cape mean to you?
I got like a warlock vibe from it. Mm. Like there was a very magical sense to this person, but in a dark way, dark magic. Mm. But the superhero cape is very interesting as well.
Mm. Because would a dark warlock character wear a white satiny cape?
I think probably not. In all the movies that I've seen, probably not. Maybe in the sense that there was kind of some trickery. There was, because he spoke so, you know, softly and calmly, there was a sense of, please trust me. But, you know, intuitively, I knew that this was someone who was meant to cause harm.
Mm. So a sense that there, at the time of the dream, might have been a sense of a call to trust that you didn't.
Correct.
Yeah, that you didn't feel. And this can be on any level. It can be simply on the level that we started at the beginning of, you know, okay, we're in the UK, we're a well-vaccinated nation. We're being called to trust and to go out to play. But I don't really feel that feels a bit ominous. I'm not quite ready for that. So it could be at that level, you know. But often what happens with a character like this in a dream is that it can represent your shadow side or your dark side. We've all got a shadow side. We've all got a dark side. We've all got lots and lots of shadow sides and lots of dark sides, the parts of ourselves that we don't want people to see. And those sides are often very wonderful. So, you know, if we go back to, for example, a culture where one doesn't speak out for fear of death, for example, then, you know, people can have the shadow of, I must not speak out. My loud voice is a shadow. My opinion is a shadow. Whereas in peaceful times, that person may then not be able to speak out because it's a dark shadow. Whereas in fact, of course, we all need to have the power of our voice and to be able to express ourselves. You know, it's not a shadow. It's actually a glorious, white and wonderful, shiny cape superhero thing to be able to stand up and say our piece and stand up for ourselves. So there can be all that shadow versus light energy going on. And I'm wondering that with your figure, that on the one hand, as you say, it's a dark, warlocky, possibly shadowy side of yourself, that and on the other hand, there's a shadowy side of yourself that says, go on, go on, you can trust, just go out there. And another part of you saying, no, I'm not going to trust that shadow. I'm not going to trust that it's okay for me to speak up. And yet the signs of like the maybe the white shiny cape, is it trickery, isn't it trickery, comes down to a kind of sabotage figure, of which we all also have. So we'll all have this inner saboteur that kind of acts along the way of, you know, there's something I want to do or something I want to say in life, but much as I consciously want to say and do that, I've got an unconscious part of myself that's going to protect me and make sure that I do not go and do that, because it's a false protection, but because it's sort of built in there. So how do you respond
to
this?
That's so interesting. Mm. Yes, I think, you know, just recently I think because of the nature of isolation and what it's, you know, forced all of us to do, particularly kind of go into hermit mode and kind of focus on ourselves, and we're, you know, we're in our own heads. So I've really leaned on to my spiritual side, and kind of in that way have found new ways to, I guess, manage everyday things in life. And that also, that process, that awakening process, I think also you shed some more masks, some more of your ego, you know, whatever kind of interactions you have with other people. So, but what I've learned is that it's kind of a never ending process. So, I'll have to have a think about what maybe is one more hurdle or thing that I'm not, allowing myself to, show to the world. What other masks that I need to drop to be my true authentic self.
Yes. And it's occurring to me, even as you say that, you know, that the fact that you're juxtaposing the isolation with a spiritual journey, then so, you know, so then we say, okay, so when isolation ends and you walk out into the world, how do you, how are you feeling about taking the new votee out there?
Yes. And which mask do I wear, or do I wear a mask at all? And I think I've thought about this a lot, actually, just because we've all been through it. And I think there are different levels of how people have handled isolation. And, you know, it's not so much a fear, but I think when you are on a spiritual journey, parts of you change and shift. And those around you who have been in your life, and, you know, this is family, friends, etc., what I've experienced is that when you change, sometimes those around you, they haven't shifted in the same ways, and maybe expect you to stay the same person, just because, you know, obviously familiarity, and, you know, that's where the bond is built. So
yes,
I think part of the struggle that I've had is when on this spiritual journey, facing society that maybe has stayed the same, but I have changed. So it's quite a balance, and sometimes staying your most authentic self is quite difficult. You know, you would think that it's, you know, it's your most natural state, and that it should be the easiest state to be in. But I think it's just combating society and the external.
Exactly. It is the hard part. As you say, it should be the most natural thing. But, you know, when you're describing how parents and family can expect you to say the same, then, as you say, it's the same thing with the society that you're going back out into, and maybe your how you work and your colleagues and everyone about mm-hmm. that. So it comes down to you then, you know, how am I feeling about the possible judgment, which is all in your head at the moment because you haven't tested it, about the possible mm-hmm. judgment of society or my work. How much am I going to hold back? How much am I going to crouch down and be silent?
Yes.
And how much am I going to be called as a warrior to protect myself or to protect the future or whatever it is? So, yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I can see all of that. And and as you also say, that many, many people going through similar have been through similar transformations due to not only lockdown and separation, but also due to living through uncertainty itself. So yes. not just the fact of lockdown, but the fact of how do we deal with uncertainty when on this scale, when it's not something that we've been brought up to cope with yes. or manage. So I think a lot of people have been through a lot of transformations, and there's a lot of people standing on their doorsteps wondering how to go out into the world. Which mask do I use? Which cape do I use? Do I trust mm-hmm. this or not? Do I crouch down low and keep quiet, or do I come out as a warrior? And if I come out as a warrior, what am I coming out as a warrior for? What am yes. I protecting within myself? What do I want to protect in society? How do I want to parent myself? How do I want to parent the world? So many
things. That's so great.
Yeah. And the declaration, I love that your shadow character has a declaration of war and chaos. And we could also say maybe that we make a declaration of warriorship, not a declaration mm-hmm. that this is a war or this is chaos, but I am now declaring how I am going to travel through this war and this chaos. I'm declaring how I am going to trust or not trust it. And I think you put your finger on it, you know, when you described that character as a kind of magical warlock, but also a figure that may be bringing trickery in, you know, do I trust them or not?
Yes.
And there can be that sense of when you walk out into the world and wanting to show more and more of your authentic self, or be more and more authentic in the world, there can be that sense of am I being a trickster here as well? You know, what am I doing? How am I testing myself? Am I testing other people? Are people going to see me as a kind of trickster? All of those energies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Those are such great questions to ask myself, and I'll definitely be thinking more about that. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. What's your overall feeling from the dream at the moment? What jumps out? I have to say one other thing because it keeps coming back
yes.
at me. He wears the cape kind of outfit, you know, and you're talking about masks. And of course, we've all been wearing masks as well. So there seems to be yes. a correlation between a masked character and this caped character too, you know, particularly mm-hmm. in the sense of protection, and your dream being about protecting your parents. And it's also about the masks and capes being protecting kind of clothing as well. And
yes,
so
definitely.
There's all of that, you know, how much of my inner parent, when I go out into the world, how much of my inner parenting do I want to protect from the world? How much of my inner spiritual journey do I want to protect?
Mm-hmm.
How much of
yes.
what I've learned do I want to bring out into the world? They're all the same question around different, mm-hmm. they're all different facets of the same situation
yes.
at different levels.
And I guess to add to that, should I even protect it? You know, in the sense of being, you know, this warriorship, do you lead the charge with just being your true authentic self and unleashing that and seeing what happens?
I would say yes. Something. I would say yes, 100%.
Yes,
but
thank
it's not.
You, Jane.
It's not necessarily easy to follow through, particularly when, as you say, you've got friends and family. Work colleagues, society in general, that you may feel judged by, but I would say yes. Mm-hmm. So you would say your call to arms would be to go out as your authentic self and be the warrior for that?
Yes, I think that's part of it. And being I guess feeling empowered to do that so that others can see that it's safe and okay to also do the same.
Yes, and I think that's where it comes round back to your parents again and what they went through during the war, because they weren't able to be empowered to feel safe. They weren't able to speak out. Very much the opposite. And no matter how they brought you up in a different country, in America, to speak out or whatever, you would still, particularly as an empath, be absorbing their story and their trauma. And so you've got that implanted at a very deep level as well.
Yes.
So, you know, coming down to that level of not necessarily speaking out with words, but speaking out with actions and how you carry yourself in the world as a warrior.
Yes, that's beautiful.
What's the overall part of the dream or what we've been talking about that is sitting with you at the moment?
I think the comparisons of the theme this year and just all the things that I've been thinking about is just uncertainty. And this maybe the dream was just another way for me to look at and manage the uncertainty that I think we're all facing and how to deal with times when you don't have control over everything in your life, which we humans love to think we have control over everything. But I think that's kind of the bigger theme that I would like to sit with myself more and just try to go deeper into how I'm managing my need to control things in life when there are times of uncertainty or chaos.
Yes.
And how I can emerge from that in a way that is most healthy for me and authentic, I guess.
Yes, that makes sense. And in the dream, your drive to do that is to protect and stay safe, isn't it? And versus going out and being the warrior.
Yes, and that's so interesting. You know, I hope that's kind of a signal to me that it is safe. Ultimately, that I should, you know.
Yeah.
This is me too. I often think worst case scenario sometimes. You know, like, oh, what if this happens? This happens, and I think it's kind of generational, only because of what my parents have been through. You know, they've had to think on survival mode all the time. So that's been something that I've been trying to consciously, you know, shift my thinking out of. But this may be kind of another nudge to say, you know, it's okay to drop the masks and just go out there as the warrior and to feel empowered as a natural state. So
yes,
it's very positive.
Yeah, and to not be doing that for necessarily for reasons of safety or reasons of protection, but to be doing it for reasons of spiritual advancement and helping others.
Yes, yes, that's beautiful.
One way you can further investigate this on your own as a dream alchemy practice would be to do a dialogue. So the way that you do a dialogue, and you may know, but I'll just explain it for people listening, is when we do a dialogue, it's dialoguing either between yourself and a character in your dream, or between two characters in a dream, or even sometimes between two things in a dream. And you do it on paper or on your keyboard, and you set a time limit, and it's maybe only 10 or 15 minutes, and you write really fast. There's no time for your thinking brain or your conscious brain to edit and write nice words. It's like almost stream of consciousness, and it's arranged as a dialogue, so one character will speak and just say a few words, and then the next character speaks and says a few words, and they have a conversation between them. And so if you do it really, really fast, and I will tell you who it's between in a minute, but I don't want your brain to start thinking about it. If you do it really, really fast, it allows your unconscious mind to do the dialogue and the unfolding. And it's your unconscious mind that picks the symbols in a dream. So when you were dreaming, your unconscious mind went, I know, I've got a really good symbol for this shadow warrior, whatever it is. Let's get a guy in his 60s with a white shiny cape. And another part of your dream went, oh, I've got a really good symbol for this. And so when you get these symbols to talk to each other, you're getting your unconscious mind to literally have a conversation with itself. And the outcome is often that in writing it very fast is that the symbols explain themselves more to you. They divulge more. You learn more about your inner self through these dialoguing, and sometimes the dialogue naturally goes further and reaches some kind of integration or healing, or two opposite sides come together with a solution. So what I would suggest that you do
I definitely try that.
Good. Is you get the guy, would you like to give him a name, either a name or a warlock name, or what name springs to mind for him?
Merlin.
Merlin, excellent.
I don't want to do that to Merlin, because I think Merlin was a good guy.
Okay, pick another.
That's what comes up.
Okay, I think it's Merlin, and as you said, yeah. I think he's a good guy. So we're going to discover this shadow, as most of our shadows are actually have a lot of goodness in them. So you get Merlin to talk to yourself, but yourself not as you are talking to me and vibrant and happy and powerful as I'm picking up from you, but yourself in the dream when you were crouched down.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And it starts with Merlin saying to you, I see you there.
Oh, terrifying.
Yeah. And it's because he's like the center of attention too. And so you just take over from there and get yourself crouching to answer. Again, no long paragraph, just a few words, and just let the conversation roll along and see what comes up. Okay?
That's great. Thank you, Jane.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for being a fantastic guest on the Dream Show today.
Oh, it's been so eye-opening and enlightening. I really, really appreciate all your expertise.
Thank you. We can learn so much from listening to other people's dreams, can't we? As well as picking up tools and techniques for exploring dreams, which is what you're doing when you're listening to this, you're also hearing the backstory of the person's life to varying degrees, or how they're responding to the dream. And what you heard there with Voti was a very short dream, and all the questions that it was triggering in her mind, things that she wanted, as well as a dream alchemy, to go and think about and apply to how she's going to emerge into the world. And of course, for all of you listening to this in real time, which this is actually going out in October. We're actually recording this one in August, but around about the time that you're listening, if you're listening to this in real time and not backtracking through years worth of podcasts, we're all in a similar situation of coming out of various degrees of lockdown, hopefully, and having been through various degrees of transformation and wondering how much of that we're going to show the world as we step out. So there was some, I guess what I'm really saying is there are some great universal questions that came up in exploring Voti's dream there, that you might like to think about. How have you changed during the pandemic? You must have changed in at least one small way, but probably in quite a big way. If when you go out into the world, what other masks do you want to take off when you take off your COVID mask? As you go out into the world, is there a sense in which you want to be a warrior? Is there a sense in which you want to be a loud warrior? Is there a sense in which you want to be a softly spoken warrior? Is there a sense in which you have something that you'd like to help the world to understand? Is there a sense in which you want to walk into the world in a different way? And all the other kinds of questions that were either asked directly or implied in exploring Voti's dreams are questions that you might want to spend some time thinking about. I think another key thing that she came up with, which was really big, is that thing where, when you go through change in your life, whether it's spiritual change or personal change, that there is that thing where you can lose the support of friends and family who really just want you to be the old you that you always were. Why did you have to change? Why are you different? Because that can be challenging. And the same with work and other aspects of life and society. So that particularly maybe highlighted coming out of the pandemic and more major transformations and hopes and dreams that we all have as a result. How are you prepared for that? Lots of questions to ask yourself, and I hope that you enjoy going through those, that you are inspired and stimulated by the lovely dream that Voti brought to the show today, to just, tweak how you feel about going out into the world and what you're ready to declare and go out and commit to as we proceed through this wonderful life and you think about bringing more and more of your personal, authentic magnificence into it. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Remember the websites if you want to do courses, dream-academy-online.com. If you want to consult me privately, janetheresa.com, or if you want to read loads of blogs, listen to other podcasts, all sorts of things, janetheresa.com. Our next episode, episode 249, is due out on the 4th of November 2021, if you're listening to this in real time. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.